Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Well, the angels in heaven are rejoicing tonight. Hallelujah. One baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. It matters how you're baptized. I said it matters how you're baptized. Just not a ritual of the church, not just a culture of the church. Amen. But it's a commandment of the Word of God. Amen. Thank the Lord for the day your sins were washed away. Do you remember how clean you felt? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And it's so good to have everyone with us. Our prayers are for those that are traveling, working, and sick, and all these things. So good to have Randy here with us. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Amen. Bill, God bless you. Thank you for being here. Amen. Phyllis, Floyd, and Nathaniel, God bless you. Thank y'all for being here. Amen. Everyone else that's made it out to God's house. Joe, it's always good to have you. Amen. Praise God. Well, I tell you, it feels like there's power in this house. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank the Lord for 1 week of revival in this new building. Amen. People's lives changed and people, God drawing people and pulling people. Amen. I'm glad to be a part of what God's doing. Hallelujah. Amen. I like that song, God, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. I want to be a part of it. Hallelujah. Anybody else want to be a part? Hallelujah. Anybody else want to be a contributor to the revival? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You got your Bible, Nehemiah, the 6th chapter, the 15th verse. We're rejoicing with Lindsay, what God's done. Amen. God. She got the Holy Ghost Wednesday night. Amen. God touched her. Amen. The Landon's been giving her Bible studies. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. What a miracle. No history of Pentecost, no history of church. I think she'd been to church once in her whole life, maybe twice in her whole life. We met her at Bubba's Catfish. And I thought when we met her, she was such a kind-spirited young lady. I told them she could get the Holy Ghost. And she got the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Nehemiah 6 and 15. So the wall was finished. Everybody say it was finished. In the 25th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. Everybody say 52 days. That's all it took was 52 days to build the whole wall of Jerusalem. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, what did they hear? They heard it only took 52 days. And all the heathen that were about us saw these things. They were much cast down in their own eyes. For they perceived, they could see it now, that this work was wrought of our God. Amen. I want to preach for a little while from this title. It doesn't take God long. Amen. Set your Bibles down. Lift your hands to the Lord. Come on, let's pray together right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, lift your voice like you've been redeemed. Lift your voice like you got the Holy Ghost. Like you're on your way to heaven. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Come on, I wish somebody just shout. Open your mouth and shout. This is how you confuse the enemy. Hallelujah. The Bible said, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Not a voice that I'm defeated. Not a voice that I'm going under. But a voice that I'm going to complete what I started. That I'm going to make it all the way. That God's not going to give up on me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, let faith rise in the house. Let faith rise in the house. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let me preach for a few minutes. Then we can shout if we want to. What do you say? Hallelujah. I feel like I'm holding back a race car right now. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I want to preach. It doesn't take God long. Hallelujah. I've been blessed to be able to go to Israel and see the old city of Jerusalem, even though it's not a big city. The old city wasn't. I'll tell you, it still take a long time to stack all them big rocks one on top of another. Amen. But when God gets involved in your business, when God gets in your business, some people don't want God in their business. I want God in my business. Hallelujah. Amen. Nothing gets done when God ain't in my business and I do it by myself. It's a beautiful day when I came to church and I threw up my hands and said, God, I can't do it by myself. Hey, I'd been trying to build the man for 27 years and couldn't do it. But I walked into an old-fashioned Holy Ghost devil stomping service. Threw up my hands and said, God, I need you to do this. And he did it. Amen. Thank the Lord. The terminology that Nehemiah uses is that the wall was built and there was no breach. Everybody say no breach. No breach was left is what he talked about in the first part of the chapter. Meaning that there was no break. Meaning there was no place anymore that the enemy could get in. Amen. It's beautiful. When you pray long enough to close up all the places. Till you pray long enough, the angels of the Lord encamp round about you. Hallelujah. What a good life. Amen. The Bible said he covered up, he repaired all the breaches. He rebuilt the wall, and anywhere there was a break, he fixed it. He put stones in there to where the enemy couldn't get back in. Let me tell you, if the enemy gets in once, amen, don't let him stay in. Too many people make excuses for why the enemy got up in their house. You ain't got to live with the enemy in your house. You can pray it out. Hallelujah. Come on, I come to preach to some people. Quit giving up. Quit pouting about what got in and start praying it out. Start fasting. Start worshiping. Start stomping the devil. Start speaking to the mountain. Hallelujah. Some people think it's the end of the world if the enemy slips in. It's not the end of the world unless you allow it to be the end of the world. But I refuse to let it be the end of the world in my life. If I fall, I'm going to get back up. If he slips in my house, I'm going to kick him right out. Come on, church. Hallelujah. There's things people are living with. You ain't got to live with it anymore. There's depressions people are living with. You don't have to live with it anymore. You're about one Holy Ghost breakthrough away from kicking depression right out of your mind, out of your spirit, out of your home, out of your marriage. Come on. Why are you always talking about depression? Let me tell you why I talk about depression. Because that's where the battle is either won or lost. I realize we go through life. I'm going through life just like you're going through life. Amen. But I'm not going to sit there and let life beat me down. Von Morton preached a long time ago, you need to quit letting life ride you and you need to start riding life. If you let it ride you, it'll take you where it wants you to go. But if you ride it, you take it where it don't want to go. Life, you're going back to the altar. Life, you're going back to a prayer meeting. Life, you're going to worship. You're going to pray. Come on, help me. Lift your hands to the Lord. Come on, is anybody determined in this house? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I know people have been through horrible trials. I have great empathy for you. Amen. But on the other flip side of the coin, this Holy Ghost is called the Comforter. It don't mean you won't have scars. It doesn't mean you won't carry hurts. And I'm not telling you you'll never hurt again. But I'm telling you there is a Comforter that'll walk with you. And if God be for me, Sister Moody, if God be for you, who on earth could be against you? Ta-ta-ta-ta. Ta-ta-ya-da-ba-sa. Ita-ra-ba-sa. Hallelujah. God, we claim victory. We claim joy. We claim peace. Hallelujah. You promised it, God. Hallelujah. Sharaba. Hallelujah. Amen. If the enemy gets in one time, run him out. But after he gets in and we run him out, we need to figure out how he got in. Come on, there may be nobody run the aisles for the next few minutes when you talk about kicking the devil out. Amen. But when you kick him out, you need to go back and figure out how he got in. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house right now. Hallelujah. I'd rather spend time preparing and repairing and building a wall than I would fighting a devil. I think some people enjoy fighting devils. I enjoy drinking unsweet tea and living in the blessings of the Lord. Come on, church. You're not more righteous because you fight devils every day. You're more righteous when you get up and you say, I'm going to walk this wall until I find out how the enemy got in. Come on. Come on, you want to be right? Be a repairer. Man, some people say, well, I'm mighty powerful in my walk with God. I cast devils out of my house and I tell demons to leave. You know what? They don't even get in my house. I talk about people seeing devils all the time. I've never even seen one. But I've been walking this wall for 20-something years saying you ain't getting in my house. I put the blood down. I pray it. Come on, we're going to a new level, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you want to live the good life, be a Nehemiah. When the devil comes to Nehemiah saying, hey, come off that wall. Come meet me somewhere in the valley of, oh no. You know what you need to learn how to say? Oh no. Oh no. doing a good work. I got my foot on the rock and my mind's made up. I don't have time to play. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Somebody shout the devil's a liar. Hallelujah. Don't be the person who lets the enemy use the same breach to get into your life over and over and over again. Come on, I'm talking about spiritual maturity. I hope you can take some meat again tonight. I don't feel sorry for people who let the enemy come in over and over and over and over. Come on, get your trowel in your hand and stop. Well, I'm having fun preaching right now. But to do that, you got to be willing to make some changes. Because when you start walking the wall of your life and you see where it's getting in every time. Oh, it's when I went to that website. You got to be man enough to get rid of the website. When it's an old buddy that every time y'all talk, it seems like the enemy just gets to you. Hallelujah. You need to learn how to say goodbye, old buddy. It's getting quiet, but it's getting right. Hey, I'm tired of fighting the same devils over and over. I'm tired of praying the same people over, praying them through every service because they got a breach that they won't take care of. Hey, it's time to grow up in Him. Hey, man, it's... Can almost tell you what somebody's going to do because I've seen the cycle over and over. It's I'm feeling good, I'm feeling good, I'm feeling good, I'm feeling good, I'm feeling good. Boom. What happened? Your boom happened at the same place. Under the same circumstance. You get around the same person. And all of a sudden you don't like the church anymore. You get around the same person and you don't think holiness is important anymore. You get around the same person and you don't think going to church is important anymore. That's why the Bible said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean. And He said, I will receive you. Hallelujah. Well, I just feel like this is my ministry. This is what I've been told by people. Well, my ministry is to be on the streets and in the bars with them. Amen. I'll tell you something. You need to learn the difference between darkness and light. Light shouldn't chase darkness. The Bible said a great light has shined into dark places. Darkness needs to see the light and start walking towards it. Come on, church. Come on, church. This is how you're going to save the world. You're going to be a light. When people see you and see the joy of the Holy Ghost, They're going to say, my Lord, what do you got? What is different about you? But if you think sitting down and telling dirty jokes together with them, well, we're trying to build rapport here before I pop the Bible study on them. No, they're dragging you to hell is what they're doing. Amen. Philip didn't have to build rapport with the Ethiopian eunuch. God knows where the hungry people are. You ain't got to spend hours with people that ain't going to repent anyway. Just pray, God, send me to somebody hungry today. Connect me up. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody say, find the breach. You're going to have to get a prayer life to be able to figure out what's wrong with you. You know, hey, you know how I can say that? Because I got to have a prayer life every day to figure out what's wrong with me. Why did I wake up cranky? I'm going to pray until I ain't cranky no more. Come on, I hope you don't think you're so holy that you ain't got to pray. Everybody needs a prayer life. This is why some people don't want to pray. Because when you start praying, God will show you the breach. Everybody likes to stop before they get to that point. When they start feeling the presence of the Lord coming on. Amen. The inspector. Above all, God's an inspector. Amen. He inspects things. Amen. When you start praying, God, search my heart. He listens to you. Amen. That's why it's kind of scary to say that. But it really ain't. Because if he don't search your heart, and he don't find that place, and you don't get it right, you ain't going to make it to heaven. Because sin separates you from God. Amen. So it ain't time to get all well. Man, I've had the Holy Ghost a long time. Well, praise God. I've had the Holy Ghost a little while too. But I'm still wanting my heart to be searched. I'm still a human being. I still got a flesh. Hallelujah. I'm still a man and I still need God. I need God to tell me when I've done wrong. I need God to tell me when I said things I shouldn't have said. There's a lady text me one time and she didn't mean nothing wrong, but the way I read it, that's the scary thing about text is there ain't no tone to it. She sent me a text. I thought she was like griping me out. So I started griping her out. Amen. I was at the car wash. I ain't even prayed that day yet, I think. So I started gripe texting her back, I think. And then she texts back and she said, well, I didn't mean that or something like that. I'm sorry, I didn't. Then I thought, you idiot, Joe Moats. And it was Monday night prayer meeting. Maybe it was Wednesday night. I don't remember. It was a night. It was a night because I remember it was dark in the church. And I walked up and I found Sister Seeley and I said, you still love me, right? I'm sorry. Well, I'm a pastor. I ain't got... No. Hey, buddy, if I'm wrong, I'm sorry. I'm going to make it to heaven if I got to take my flesh by the nape of the neck. Joe Moats, you're going to apologize. You're going to... Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. If you get a prayer life, God will deal with you. And if God will deal with you, you can get right. But if God never deals with you, there's not much hope for somebody God won't deal with. Don't get all self-righteous on me. Think, well, the preacher never gets me. That's scary. That means your mind ain't right. The preaching gets me and I'm the one preaching. The preaching convicts me. I'm going to pray as soon as I'm done. Hey, I'm just the mouthpiece tonight. I'm trying to tell you the devil wants in your house. He wants in your life. He wants in your pocketbook. He wants in your marriage. And you got to learn how to find the breach. I'm repairing this. How about this, honey? Honey, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. Wife, I didn't mean to say that. I don't. Well, hallelujah. Praise God. There ain't no fights at my house. You know why? Because there ain't going to be none. Let me tell you, if you say everything you think, I'm not signing your fourth marriage license because it's going to happen. If you say, this is wisdom right now. If you say everything you think, you're going to put some daggers in people. Somebody said, well, it's truth. Well, you wouldn't want me to tell you the truth. Hey, Jesus just incrementally gives us truth. You need to work on your attitude a little bit. Then you need to work on this a little bit. If God told you everything you needed to do, you would stroke out tonight. But thank God he just... little by little, he gave them a little property. He said, let me make sure you can cut all the grass first. Make sure you can keep all the weeds out of the grapes. I'm going to give you a little. When you figure out how to handle all that, I'm going to give you a little more. And a little, matter of fact, if you figure out how to do that, I'm going to send the hornets ahead of you to run the enemy out. And you're going to. If God told you everything he wanted to do in your life at one time, you'd all be at the doctor trying to get nerve pills tomorrow. If he told you everything that you needed to correct, thank God he's merciful. And you get up and you're going to pray tomorrow. God, search my heart. God, just give me a little nugget. Ooh, I can fix that little thing. Then tomorrow, I can fix that little breach right there. But if he said, that whole western wall's got to be redone. And the eastern wall's leaning a little bit. And the south wall, I don't really like it. You'd cry like a baby and pout and throw a fit. That's why we come to church 3 times a week. Or you're supposed to. And God gives you a little message on Sunday morning. And a little message on Sunday night. And a little more on Wednesday night. And we're like a building being edified. This is how God designed it. Built up in him. Growing every day in him. Becoming a better person every day. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm trying to hurry up. I ain't got my phone. I don't know what time it is. They took my clocks out. Hallelujah. Amen. You need to be the one that learns how to find the breach in your life. You You need to identify it. Don't act like it ain't there. You're not helping yourself by acting like there's nothing there. Just identify it and then just start repairing it. But here's the problem. Nehemiah 1 and 2. He said, Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, they told him everything. They rocked his world. He said, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words. Everybody say, when I heard the words. This is the key to the whole message. What are you going to do when you hear the word? He said, when it came to pass, I heard these words. He said, I sat down and I wept and I mourned certain days and I fasted and I prayed before the God of heaven. Let me tell you, nothing will happen if you get the attitude, I don't care. I feel like I've been preaching this. If anything's going to change in your life, you got to get an attitude, I do care. If you care, I can help you. When you care, broken walls will bother you. And when broken walls begin to bother you, you're going to get committed to something. And you're going to start trying to do something. You got to care, though. Hallelujah. I thank God for this church. Thank God for every blessing. God has brought us some of the greatest people. Let me tell you though, if you sit there like this, with that attitude, you ain't going to get me. Let me tell you what, God will just walk right on past you. Well, I'm tough. You ain't going to get me. No, you're low IQ. Because God ain't going to get you. And if God don't get you, you ain't going nowhere. Hallelujah. I love it when preaching gets me. I've told the story. I was preaching out of town in Guy, Arkansas, and they had a first-time guest on the front row. And that night, I was just myself. And I started preaching against everything. I said, if you think you can sit at the bar stool on Saturday and come to church on Sunday and feel God, you're all mixed up. And there was this gal in the front row and he goes, you know what he's saying? You got me. I kept on preaching. You think you can look at stuff on the internet you shouldn't be looking at and still please God? You're mixed up in your head. He goes, whatever I said, he said. You know what? It was kind of distracting me, but in my mind I thought, this guy's about to get something. All these other self-righteous people are probably going to leave just like they walked in. But that guy right there, he's done discovered something. There's a breach in the wall. And he's recognized, I got to get something fixed. I wrapped it up and said, anybody feels like praying, come down to this front and pray. He got up and ran down to the front with his long mullet from 1992. It wasn't very long that mullet was shaking around in the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on. You got to care. When you hear it, it's got to do something to you. Don't let it desensitize you. Hallelujah. My fear is people have heard the same thing so many times, and it desensitizes them to the impact of eternity. God, give me a fresh slate every day. Let the Word of God impact me. Amen. The very first preacher on the day of Pentecost, the church started on the day of Pentecost. And the very first preacher was named Simon Peter. I'm telling you, he wasn't a limp-wristed, sissy, snowflake preacher. He was a hellfire and brimstone tribulation. Tell it like it is. I think he was enjoying it. I don't know, but he told them like it was. Amen. Sometimes we need to hear it like it is. Think the world's heard enough Joel Osteen preaching that you're perfect how you are. And you're going to be rich as soon as you give me some money. People heard enough of the lies and the garbage in Protestant religion. Amen. The church in the book of Acts was not a protesting church. It wasn't a Catholic church. It was the church of the living God. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he told one man, he said, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And on that day, that man began to preach with all of his heart. Amen. He wasn't soft about it. I know there's a time to be gentle and there's a time to be truthful. Amen. But when you study what preaching is not soft-toned communication and compromise. And let's reason together. Amen. God chose preaching. Preaching brings about emotion. Preaching is emotional through the preacher. Amen. Anytime a man begins to pour his heart out, it's emotional. God uses that emotion and that word to impact people. Amen. And at the end of that message, amen, everybody that was there on that day for that Thanksgiving type holiday that were there, the Bible said they were amazed. They began to make fun of the people that had just got the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine somebody making fun of somebody getting the Holy Ghost? Amen. Hallelujah. I seen Lindsay get the Holy Ghost. I had my hand on her head when the first syllable happened. Amen. You talking about wow. She said, I was praying and I was saying, God, I want you. And then all of a sudden I started saying something I didn't understand anymore. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Her eyes got big. She thought that felt good. She just kept on doing it then. Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers. God don't want to give you a little touch. He wants to give you a river. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit. Tell you, when people get the Holy Ghost, it's real. Hallelujah. Amen. She wouldn't have had some Bible studies, she'd have had no idea what just happened to her. Amen. Thank the Lord. And these got the Holy Ghost at 120 in the upper room. Peter began to preach. He preached it, the fire down. Amen. They thought they were drunk. But something about that preaching. You know what the preaching is? Showed them there was a breach in the wall. You know, if everybody thinks they're already saved, it's kind of hard for them to believe there's a breach. It takes an anointing from God for people to realize, hey, these were the Jewish proud people. These were the people whom the oracles of God had been given to. These were the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the aristocrats. These were the smart religious people. But there was something about this fisherman. When he started preaching, the power come down. This just come to me the other day. The writer of the book of Acts didn't walk around and interview them. Amen. You ever seen people do them interviews? Amen. They'll run around. Who you voting for? And they got the camera on. And nobody walked around and said, well, how are you feeling after that sermon? What do you think about Simon Peter? You ever heard a fisherman preach? And they didn't say, well, it kind of pricked our heart. They didn't say that. But it was apparent to the writer. They must have had a look of death on their face like, oh, my word. I grew up in Israel. I've never heard that. There was something. I love it when the Holy Ghost backs me up. Hallelujah. The Bible said they were pricked in their heart. And said unto that man who had the keys of the kingdom. And not just to him, he said it to all the apostles. Matter of fact, Matthew was there. The one that wrote Matthew 28:19, he was there too. And they were all standing together. And the man with the keys, when they said, what shall we do? He said, repent. He didn't say repeat and be baptized. I read it again today just to make sure. No, I didn't have to. It still said, repent and be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, Lindsay, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and unto your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. When you hear it, Nehemiah, what are you going to do with it then? When the preaching reveals a breach. Well, it's your decision. I don't know how many people were there, 50,000, 100,000, million, I don't know who in there. But the Bible said 3,000. What did they do? Gladly? Not begrudgingly? Do I have to repent? Do I have to be baptized? You don't. Because it ain't going to do you no good. But the one that gladly says, oh, I see the breach now. You need to hear it. You need to identify it. And then you need to do something about it. And this is what I come to preach about for 90 seconds. Start. If you hear there's a breach in the wall and you gladly say, you know what? You got me. and you say, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get this fixed. This is what I come to preach. When you get your mind right, it won't take God very long to turn it all around. You don't have to wait 6 years to get the Holy Ghost. You don't have to wait 40 years to get delivered. You don't have to wait 3,000 receive the Holy Ghost right then. Hallelujah. Stand together with me. Paul was preaching. I don't know what he's preaching about. I know I've read Paul, and I got a feeling he was preaching something really complex. That's just how he was. But he looked out in the crowd, and he saw that there was a man, and the man, he saw that he had the faith to be healed. Tell you, when you get to that point, it don't take God very long to fix the rest of it. I feel like God's going to give somebody in this room tonight the breakthrough you've been wanting. Come on, my time's up. It's you and God now. Hallelujah. If you get committed. Come on, anybody want to get a Holy Ghost breakthrough? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, in the name of Jesus. When Nehemiah said, I'm sick and tired of the enemy getting in my house. I'm not going to let Sanballat or Tobiah distract me or take me down. An enormous project took 52 days. You're thinking it would take God a lifetime to fix my problems. It would take God a lifetime to fix my finances. No, if you'd quit robbing God, it wouldn't take him very long at all. Hey, I feel it in the Holy Ghost. If somebody would step out in faith, there's something you've been looking for. Before you leave tonight, it could be a whole different situation. Sometimes it's just one little breach. The Bible would say it like this, little foxes spoil the vine. Little habits, little indulgences. Little temptations, little pockets of bitterness that I'm going to hold on to because I've been done wrong. Little breach. I want to tell you, it happened so fast. It happened so fast that even the enemy had to say, my Lord. That's God right there. If he done it before, he can do it again. I said, if he done it before, has he ever done it for you before? Come on. Come on, everybody in this house. Find you a place. Come on, we're about to have a Holy Ghost breakthrough. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Come on, lift your hands and begin to shout out to God. Hallelujah. It's about to happen. Come on, it ain't going to take God long. I feel a witness in the Holy Ghost. The restorer is in the house. The restorer is in this house. The gift giver is in this house. Come on in, Jesus.
Things are about.